Hello, and welcome to Meadow Ministry at Holden Village. Today's date is July 26th, 2004. Today's session number is CAJ 2004-06. Today's speaker is Joyce Caldwell. The lesson for today is A Faith Journey of Transformation, Walking in the Water of Baptism. Let's listen in.
To see a full room. We had a full room all last week and had a lot of fun in Bible study, so I'm looking forward to that again and to engaging with all of you. So we're going to get started so they can start to do the taping. My name is Joyce Caldwell, and I'm here doing Bible study last week and this week. Last week we looked at parables of God's people and use those as a lens to look at issues of social justice. Now, this week, we're going to be looking at stories from the New Testament, primarily from Acts. Today, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Tomorrow, a story from Matthew. But looking at stories from the New Testament that also help us look at who we are called to be as God's people in community, and particularly looking at stories within the Bible that examine issues of prejudice and push sort of those barriers within the early church, of those barriers of separation, and looking at where are those barriers in our church today. For those of you who are part of the ELCA, and certainly part of all mainline Protestant denominations that keep looking and exploring what it means to be a multicultural church, we're going to look at some of those places where that gets hard, and looking at where God's Word gives us some possibilities of moving beyond that and moving into some new ways of being with one another. So today we're going to start where we begin in Christian community with baptism. And our theme is walking in the waters of baptism. So I brought some water with us first today. Can't see, we don't have glass bowls, I found them. There is water in here. And so it's remembering that we gather here as a group of people because we gather around waters of baptism that call us into new community as God's people. And it is that water of baptism that grounds us, that gives us life. And it's water, amazing. Water is that earthly symbol of baptism, as we're surrounded in this place by those clear mountain streams, waterfalls that we can see the clearness and wonder of water. We have wonderful water that comes out of the faucets here that renews and sustains us, and I keep hearing people say, wow, the water of Holden tastes so good. That it's that cleanness of water that renews us and sustains us. We came up on the waters of Lake Chelan, and we can see the power of water even to move mountains around here, in places where it washed out the land by the bridge, or it washed out the whole mountain at Prince Creek as we came up. That power of water also to move and change us. It's that water that brings us here together. And so we begin around these waters of baptism. And just to share a story I shared at the beginning last week, it's a story that keeps me connected with the waters of baptism and in doing this work of looking at what it means to be a church that God calls us to that includes all peoples. That a number of years ago, I was on the Cherokee Reservation in Cherokee, North Carolina, for a spiritual retreat, and had spent 4 days there in some deepening of spiritual life in some profound ways, including a sweat lodge experience. But then on the last day, we went to a mountain which aren't as big as these mountains in North Carolina, and went to one of the mountains in Cherokee that's sacred to the Cherokee Nation there. And Pastor Saul Rockerson invited us to walk up that mountain. We walked together as a group, and we walked to a place in the mountain where we came to this beautiful waterfall. It was wider than Ten Mile Creek. I think it was called Angel Falls, or else that was my picture of it. But it was this beautiful waterfall cascading down into this big pool and then down a little farther where it started flowing away into a creek. And he invited us to get down into the creek And as we got down into there, and we remembered again some of the places that God calls us to as spiritual people, as we had experienced in the time there, and standing in that water, it was very, very cold. It's like my feet were turning numb standing in there, but we were standing in that water, and he just sort of reached down into the water then, into that cold water that we were standing in, and he just sort of took the water and threw it at us and reminded us that we're baptized. And he threw it all of us, reminding us that we are baptized and that we live as God's baptized people. And sometimes the water of baptism surprises us and catches us off guard and invites us again to live into that surprise of what it is to be God's people and to live in the waters of that baptism. And as I walked down that mountain, my prayer was, and he invited us to walk in silence down and meditating, that I walked down that mountain repeating the prayer, God, help my feet always stay this cold. Help me remember how cold my feet are, that I can never forget what this means, what it means to be called to live in your just community, what it means to continually be working for justice and to keep my feet that cold. And so it's a piece that I always remember that keeps me somewhat grounded on the journey, that keeps calling me back when I forget. So we're going to talk today and move into the story of Acts 8, of Peter and the Ethiopian eunuch, and taking us to another story of people who journey, who were on a journey, and who encountered the waters of baptism, and what that means, and where that takes us on our journey. So it's that place of, again, being drawn to the water, as you'll hear in this story, where we, as people, are always drawn to water, that the vast majority of the U.S. population lives along the coast, where there's water, or we're drawn to live near rivers, streams. There's something about water that draws us. And so looking at the waters of baptism that draw us to be a new people. So if you turn to Acts 8, reading verses 26 through 39. Acts 8, 26 through 39. And would someone like to read those verses or begin reading and then pass it to someone at home? Okay.
Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go over to this chariot and join it. So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, do you understand what you are reading? He replied, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. I'm going to stop her. Continue.
Would someone else like to pick up? Was someone over here?
In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, about whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? about himself or about someone else. Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing.
Okay. Any words or phrases that have come up, stand out for you as you were listening?
Justice must be denied him.
Okay.
One, I'm not sure how relevant it is, but I never noticed it before, that Philip got snatched away. I never noticed that. Mm-hmm.
This was a Lord's word.
Okay.
Well, yeah. the whole thing, too, has got the concept of the Spirit coming. The Spirit came and snatched Philip.
Mm-hmm. And he needed the guidance of someone to understand what he was reading.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
The Philip began to speak and he started the scripture.
Christ struck me the power of the word that in just, he wanted to have this explained to him. And in this short period of time, I don't know how long, but anyway, as it was still traveling, he even had developed it through to the concept of baptism, because that was what he asked for when he came to the water. So how quickly his heart could be opened.
Mm-hmm. In verse 30 it said, so Philip ran up to it. You know, a sense of urgency, a sense of what's happened now. Just wanting to do it.
I like the next part of it, and heard him reading the prophet. He must have been reading the prophet out loud.
Right. And in a language that was common, apparently. Mm-hmm.
And it strikes me, too, that he didn't have it in front of him. It wasn't in the temple. Ah. He would be wealthy enough to have this piece of material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The contrast that he's a eunuch, which has all kinds of implications with that he's in a chariot and that he has sort of the trappings of wealth around him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, holding all of those pieces in mind, and I left Laurel's Jubilee up here for this morning, because the whole context that we'll be looking at these texts during this week is within the context theme of Holden for this week of Jubilee. Of turning things around. I mean, you raised a lot of those pieces that we want to look at in more depth. So I would like you now to get into groups of fours. This will take some moving around of the chairs. Kind of get into a group of four, and then I'll give you your next instructions. Each of us, and that we enter into Scripture, that Scripture is our teacher, And story becomes our way of knowing that that the truth of the word becomes alive in us as we enter into it. And it's new for us every day, every time we enter, every time I read. I find that I'm in a new place, and so what I hear is different. So what we will learn from it is what you all give to it, that we learn through community. So we're going to enter into this text now, and you are going to become the people in the text. So within your group, if you want to number off from 1 to 4 or 1 to 5, and I don't know if I see any groups bigger than 5. Okay. You all have your numbers? So within your groups, the ones, threes, and fives, listen to the text again, this time as Philip. You are Philip. And I'll read it for you again, but this time as you listen, listen through the lens, through the eyes, through the ears, through the feelings of Philip, and experience the story from his perspective. Those of you who are twos and fours, listen to the story as the Ethiopian eunuch. And try to enter into that experience. You raised some wonderful pieces already of some of those senses that you may be alert to as you are these people in the story. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So Philip got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The Ethiopian replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that the Ethiopian was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. So I would like you now, as Philip and as the eunuch, and to speak in that first person, to share with one another what are the risks for you as Philip, as the eunuch, and what are the new learnings or insights that you get as Philip or as the eunuch. Share that within your group. And so speak of that, share the risks that you take and the new learnings and the new insights that you get. Turn around so you can hear.
here, but you're going to be going back into these groups, so you don't need to move far away. So let's hear from some of the Phillips. Philip, what were the risks and new learnings for you? What's happening for you in this story?
I was being called into wilderness without any knowledge of where I was being called. It was just a blind faith of saying, God wants me to be here, wants me to go here, and that's where I'm going.
Okay, called into the wilderness.
I felt it was easy to follow directions when the direction is go on this road, go up and meet this carriage. But then as soon as I go up and meet the carriage, there's no direction now. There isn't somebody telling me, ask this question. So it's when it becomes the interpersonal, one-on-one, or relational stuff, when there isn't a specific, here's what you say next, and here's what you say next, and here's what you say next, that it gets a little, takes a little courage, and gets a little difficult.
Yeah.
One of the risks for Philip was that he was going to, he was sent to this place where there's this eunuch who obviously has some power, who's in charge of this treasury, and am I going to be, you know, welcomed into this situation? Am I going to be killed because I might be perceived as a threat? You know, those are some of the risks that, as Phillips up here, mm-hmm. thought about.
Okay. Well, huge class difference.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the spirit was his armor.
Yeah. Other Phillips, he was given the gift of approaching this person lovingly and not sarcastically, you know, why do you want to know? And I think just that feeling of being able to communicate with him in a good gesture and tone of voice, that he was welcomed more than if he would have not done that. I had been blessed with that kind of a talent. I think the Lord gave him that in many, many ways, many times. Oh, and I probably most of the disciples also, when they would approach you, they had a feeling of calmness and maybe just loving interest in the person that they were going to be dealing with. Okay. Does anybody have any other background on who Philip is?
Here. He's, okay. I'm assuming this is the Apostle Philip who went and goes and gets Nathaniel. I mean, and he's this character who, come and see. He, you know, he's someone who loves to tell. And so, you know, well placed to go and say, you know, here's this person who's ready to hear and he's ready to tell. So I'm assuming it's the same Philip.
It's actually not, but it's interesting that it's the same, I mean, name and the same kind of going out to tell. This Philip is actually one of the seven who just a couple of chapters before was one of those Hellenistic Jews, Greek-speaking Jews, who was appointed by the apostles to take care of the widows and orphans. So he's kind of newly appointed as one of these seven, which Stephen was also one of. And Stephen had just been stoned in the chapter before this. So one of his fellow Greek-speaking Jews has just been stoned for stepping out and speaking the word. And so and now he's being called to go and speak the word, so there could be some sense of that. There's also that sense of where Philip is stepping way out from what the circle of apostles have been as Jews, that Philip, in just these verses before, actually was the first who carried the gospel as we hear it in Acts to the Samaritans, who are hated kind of and despised by the Jews. He took the gospel to them, and now he's stepping way out and getting into a carriage with an Ethiopian. And he's crossing the racial boundaries here, too. He's going from the Jewish experience and Jewish life into taking the gospel to an Ethiopian.
He He's also stepping outside the bounds that his community had set for him. He was supposed to take care of the widows and the orphans within the community. And he's going off to all these random other people and sharing the good news. He's not just setting tables and preparing food, which was what he was called to do. He's suddenly out on dusty roads traveling with eunuchs from Ethiopia that have nothing to do with the community to which he was called originally.
And mm-hmm. baptizing them, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he could get in big trouble.
There's also, I think, a subtext here, which is the actual chapter of the verse that the eunuch was reading, and it may have been a general chiding or something to get Philip to think about his own ministry and his own calling if you read that text.
Do you want to say a little more about that?
I don't know what else to say except the charge is, you know, be bold. Mm-hmm. Help me understand what this is, and he's kind of baiting Philip to step up and say, oh, the Spirit's sending this text to me for me to listen and hear and go for it boldly.
Mm-hmm. Despite all those things that may hold him back, of all of those other thoughts from Philip, Philip was totally relying on the Lord and the Lord's promises, and the Spirit was leading him. I feel that the Spirit was leading him to go out and tell, regardless of who the person is or what station in life, if he were a Samaritan or whatever, but he was totally reliable on the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and one more time?
Ask. Okay. Let's hear from some of the Ethiopian eunuchs.
I'm reading out loud, and I'm the Ethiopian, I guess, from what it says, and I'm kind of wondering why I'm doing that. It could be I want my servants to hear this too, and so I'm going down the road reading what I've maybe purchased in Jerusalem as part of my journey there to worship. And I'm already maybe thinking about what this means for me as well as other people, since obviously my servants are going to be hearing it. Here's this fellow over here along the side of the road, and here he comes running up, and I'll read to him too. And I'm just kind of fantasizing a little bit here, but and then he asks me if I understand what this is about, and I ask him, you know, how can I? You know, this doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And then he helps me understand and talks about baptism and how that's important, and I said, well, that would be good for me to do. Here's some water, and I could, well, how about if we, you know, would it be okay if you baptize me? And he says, it's okay. And I think, well, should I have my servants baptized too, or should it just be me? And I'm thinking, you know, I think if I'm baptized, that's good enough for all of us. Everybody doesn't have to get in.
Okay.
The scripture he was reading, in his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch had been neutered as a child, and his life had been taken away.
Mm-hmm. So there was probably a place of deep connection that he could make within that.
Mm-hmm.
Back
of course, the risk is when somebody comes up and says, do you understand what you're reading? Who of us wouldn't say, of course I do. I'm no fool.
I'm a head of the Treasury of Ethiopia.
Yeah. And then what I see, though, or I guess where I go from the beginning of that, where he's baptized, is that the understanding has to come through the relationship. Because it isn't, I've given you the secret code words to really understand this text, but something happens that moves me from just reading text to being willing to enter into some relationship in baptism. And so there's some transformation that occurs in the chariot. I have no idea what's going on. That's a risk also, because at first I'm willing to say, I do not know, and now I'm entering into something wholly new.
Mm-hmm.
It's also pretty risky when I get back because all my relationships would have changed.
Well, and obviously, I mean, I didn't go to Jerusalem for personal state business. I mean, I didn't go for state business. This was a faith pilgrimage. I went seeking. So maybe I was still hungering as I come back. And if I don't understand something well, like I'm reading instructions and I'm having trouble processing it, I read it out loud just to see if I can hear it differently or understand it more. And then this man comes up and he seems to question, do I understand? And this is, I'm seeking.
Okay. Mine was sort of the same as this gentleman. I became aware of what now. Philip suddenly was gone, just like that, I mean, right after this happened. And so now, what am I going to do? How am I going to explain? Am I going to understand? Am I going to have any supportive community? What am I going to find when I get home?
But he leaves rejoicing. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful word. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Something's my second happened. Thought. I was, of course, I rejoiced, but then as I started back, then it struck me.
It's like, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Extending from that, I wonder what he's going to tell the Queen. Here he's the chief financial officer of the nation, and he's off on a spiritual retreat. She probably knew that, probably approved that trip. But this is quite a remarkable transformation. I heard last night about transformative love of God. Maybe something is connecting here. Now he comes back. What would he tell her? And would this make any difference in the way he carried out his work, that high calling he had? So I'm wondering what he's thinking about that. This is pretty big. And he had a big job, very influential position.
How can he change? I mean, if all of his relationships and himself is changing, how is that going to affect everything in the kingdom?
My observation, even though I was playing Philip, and my observation on listening to this is I think that there's a very significant reason why a Ethiopian eunuch is in the story, and that the Ethiopian eunuch has his answering to the queen. Obviously, that Ethiopian has lost his masculinity. A eunuch has lost his masculinity, and he's answering to a queen, and in a society that is very highly male dominated. So here again, the breaking down of the separation, so even though he was a man of authority, he was still answering to a female authority. So I think there's a very significant statement here.
One more, and we'll give you some other.
Well, I like the Ethiopian eunuch. I was Philip, but it's like now I'm transported miraculously back to my community, and what am I going to say I was off doing? You know, sure, the Lord just spoke to you and said, go to this eunuch, go to this chariot, go to that street, and say these things. What's my community going to say? Nobody else has had the Lord say so specifically to do this thing, you know. I wonder what I'm going to do when I get back to the church and my fellow disciples.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the church council is going to say, what were you doing? What were you thinking? So there's a lot of risk going on for all of these. And in the commentaries, there is often that they state that the Church of North Africa traces its history to the Ethiopian eunuch. That the strong North African church in its early life kind of traces to that. So obviously he went back and did some transformation among the people. And so that word touched him deeply. What I'd like you to do, take again about 10 minutes and I'll give you, in your same groups now, talk about this story within your own life. Think about where are you on your journey. We have two different kind of perspectives here on this journey. Philip, who was called to go, the Ethiopian, who was called to learn. And they're both learning, they're both taking risks. but from some different perspectives on that journey. So think about and share with one another, where are you on your journey? Think about within your faith journey. How has God broken into your life at some point? If you can share some experience or some time, some incident, some way that God broke into your life with a new word or a new insight that led you in some new directions. And then as you have time, what are the barriers in your life, congregation, or community that separate people? And there is this barrier here of class, the barrier of race, that Philip and the Ethiopian bridged, but through God's call. But what are the barriers that you see? And then where or to whom is God calling you to go in breaking down some of those barriers? You won't get through all this in 10 minutes. These are also here for you to continue to ponder on all day. So start that conversation on where are you, how has God broken into your life, and what are some of the barriers?